Good afternoon. Today is Thursday, May 11th, 2023. This is the AMS Technical Advisory Committee meeting. We have, everybody got their packets? Very good. Call to order and a determination of a quorum.
We do have a quorum, and I do want to apologize. For whatever reason, the Hilton got their wires crossed and were unawares that we were going to be here today, and so the room was not set up appropriately. We did the best we could in about 40 minutes. So appreciate all of you being flexible with our, you know, updated boardroom setting here. But thank you, and we're looking forward to an otherwise normal meeting. So
very good. I didn't seem like anybody was lost, so yeah. We're all good. All right, moving on to item two, meeting minutes from the March 16th, 2023 meeting, reference attachment 2A. A motion is required to approve.
So moved.
Cleared.
Second, Paradise.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor of approving, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes. Moving on to item three, staff reports. 3A, Financial Progress Report, reference attachment 3A, Mr. Baker.
All right, thank you. As you can see on attachment 3A, through March, we spent about 41% of the budget. As I know many of you as well, struggling with staffing issues, AMET has lost two employees over the last couple months, both Farhad Amazed and David Swirsky have left, so that's going to be part of what I think hurts our budget spending-wise this year, but we're hoping to get restaffed up. And if anyone is looking to leave their current job, come talk to me afterwards.
Well, now no one wants to come talk. All right. With that staff report, we need a motion to approve.
I'll make that motion for Shira Rittman.
Can we get a second?
And a second.
We have a motion and a second to approve. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes. Moving on to item 3B, technical progress report. Mr. Stewart.
Thank you. Just three items today, this afternoon. First thing I wanted to mention, AMETS is in the process of doing a functional class update. That's important because that dictates, you know, which roads are eligible for the federal funding that you all use. So for the last year, I believe AMET staff asked all of you to submit any of your requests. We have 18 total. Most of those are additions to the system. There have been some, you know, trades and requests to either downclass or remove certain roads. But the TAC TIP committee will be meeting on May 23rd to discuss these potential changes. We'll be considering staff recommendations. We've been meeting internally as a staff to kind of go through that. One of the things, we postponed the meeting, and the big reason is we want to get some good counts. Some of our roads that are on the request, we've been setting out counts, several of the roads in the Cuyahoga Valley that it was mentioned, you know, higher weekend counts. So those, we've been getting weekend counts, and we'll be out again to do more weekend counts just so we can get a good cross-section, also the streetlight data. So that's kind of one of the things we're working on. The other thing I wanted to mention, just because it was announced very shortly after our March meeting, the federal government announced year two funding for Safe Streets for All. I'll talk about that a little bit later, the program, but just wanted to plant the seed that those applications are due on July 10th. And the implementation grants can range from $2.5 million to $25 million. And so assuming our policy committee approves that final plan next week, then communities and other agencies will be eligible to apply for those implementation grants. Last thing I just wanted to mention, I don't really have anything that specific, but, you know, Curtis and I are watching what's going on with the whole federal debt ceiling discussion. It's spent a good amount of time even this morning trying to get the latest updates, and there's really just a lot of speculation right now what that could mean. what the effects might be to transportation. Still have a ways to go until when the federal government might default on some of its obligations, which estimating first, second week in June. So just stay tuned on that. You know, it's interesting if you go to USDOT's website, they talk about like some of the immediate impacts will be reductions in like rail safety inspections, and they project like what each state's effects would be and stuff like that. Also some of the airport security type issues and holding up just the federal funding that you all use. But you know, it's very hard to find specifics on exactly what that might mean for the funding that you're all familiar with. So stay tuned on that. That's all I have. Any questions? Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Moving on to item 3C, and that's federal funds report. Reference attachment 3C, Mr. Pillay.
Hey, thank you. Just a couple of things I'd like to touch on. Our FDPG funds in fiscal year 23 are over-programmed by about $1 million. That's for a number of reasons. One big reason is we've given several jobs a 15% increase because costs have been going up. But we don't anticipate any issues. There's statewide, there's a lot of MPOs with balances, positive balances that we can borrow from. So we'll try to broker something here in the next couple weeks so we can get a loan, and then we'll pay it back in a future year. The other funds are in much better shape. CASA and CMAC both have positive balances. You know, we're now near the end of fiscal year 23. Last time I looked, we still have about 8 STBG projects left to sell, which are worth about $5 million. So we're hoping that everything does sell as planned in the fiscal year that it's spoke to. And last but not least, MS will be accepting applications for new projects this summer. We'll probably have the same schedule as we did last time 2 years ago. We'll accept CMAC in probably toward the end of July, and then we'll accept STBG and TASA and resurfacing toward the end of October. So we'll meet the TAP TIP subcommittee. We'll meet a couple times before this process starts to review the funding policy guidelines and make any changes that may be necessary. And that's all I have. If there's any questions, I'd be glad to answer them.
No questions. Thank you, Dave. Item 4, old business.
We have none.
Moving on to item 5, new business.
We also have none.
Item 6, 6A, resolutions. Resolution 2023-04, approving fiscal year 2024 transportation planning work program and budget. Reference attachment 6A. Ms. Rideau.
Good afternoon, everyone. Attachment 6A is the final transportation planning work program and budget for fiscal year 2024, which will begin on July 1st of this year. A draft of the work program was approved in January by the policy committee, which was then submitted to ODOT for review. After receiving comments from ODOT, the major elements of the plan remain the same. Therefore, AMS staff is requesting approval of the fiscal year 2024 transportation planning work program and budget.
If there's any questions, I can certainly answer them. No questions. Resolution requires a motion to approve.
A motion.
So moved. McClear.
Second.
Bowling second.
Thank you, Jim. We have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes. Moving on to item 6B, resolution 2023-05, approving the final draft fiscal year 2024 to 2027 transportation improvement program. Reference attachment 6B, Mr. Pillay.
Okay, thank you. At our last meeting, we gave you all a copy of the new fiscal year 24-27 TIP. And the purpose of this resolution is to approve the new TIP. I just have a couple slides I'd like to run through real quick. Other than just a list of projects, the TIP, of course, lists transit projects, fiscal analyses, air quality, environmental justice. We have a performance measures section, and then, of course, public input. The funding source in the TIP is mostly federal. 52% of it is federal, 11% state, and 37% is local. And local is higher than you think because included in the local share is the tax that the that Metro collects, the local sales tax that Metro collects. By motor travel, 42% of the TIP is transit, 56% highway, and about 2% is bike and ped. Of the highway projects, amount to about $523 million, and they are classified usually in the three broad categories: preservation, operational, or capacity. By far, the largest category of improvements is preservation. Resurfacing is immensely popular now, and bridge repairs and such. Operational, such as traffic signals and traffic flow improvements, are 8%, and capacity is 15%. And there's only, in the TIP, there's only a couple projects that even involve capacity, but those projects are usually very expensive, so that's why the percentage is 15%. Transit projects, as I mentioned, over $399 million toward transit. That money goes toward operation of metro and part of services, replacement of buses, maintenance of equipment facilities, and the coordinated human services transportation plan. So the next step is before I forget, I'd like to mention we did not include another printed version of the TIP in your handout. I have about six copies laying back on the bar, or whatever you want to call it. If you'd like a paper copy, I do have about six copies, but it is posted on our internet. It's on our front page if you'd like to look at it closer. So the next steps is approval of resolution 2020-305, and then the document has already been sent to ODOT, and ODOT sends our TIP along with the other MPO TIPs and the state TIP to the U.S. Department of Transportation. Final approval and comment should be done by June 30th, and then this document will take effect on July 1st, 2023. If there's any questions, I'd be glad to take them.
And there's no question. So we need a motion to pass resolution 2023-05.
Sheriff Rittman, I'll do it.
All in second.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second. All those in favor of passing the resolution signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes. Item 6C, Resolution 2023-06, reaffirming the approval of the Regional Transportation Plan and Transportation Improvement Program and affirming the consistency between the Regional Transportation Plan, the Transportation Improvement Program, and the State Implementation Plan. Reference Attachment 6C, Mr. Gardner.
Thank you, Chairman. This is an annual resolution that we must pass in order to remain certified as a Metropolitan Planning Organization. This resolution reaffirms AMMAT's approval of the existing 2045 Regional Transportation Plan. It also reaffirms the existing TIP and affirms the consistency of both of these documents with the State Implementation Plan for Air Quality Conformity. The staff is recommending approval of Resolution 2023-06. Are there any questions?
All right. We need a motion to approve the resolution.
So moved, Wheaton.
Second, Paradise.
A motion and a second. All those in favor of approving, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, motion passes. Moving on to item 6D, Resolution 2023-07, certification of the urban transportation planning process. Reference attachment 6D, Mr. Gardner.
Thank you. With this resolution, the policy committee is going to certify that the MS transportation planning process is being implemented in compliance with all applicable federal requirements. This is an annual requirement. We have to pass this resolution every year. AMAS activities are carried out under the continuing supervision of the Ohio Department of Transportation, and the staff is recommending approval of Resolution 2023-07. Are there any questions?
All right, there are no questions, so we need a motion to pass Resolution 2307.
So moved, Wheaton.
And a second?
Bowling, second.
We have a motion and a second to pass the resolution. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes. Moving on to item 6E, Resolution 2023-08, approving the final draft Safe Streets for All SS4A Action Plan for the Greater Akron Area. Reference attachment 6E, Mr. Stewart.
Thank you. In your packets, you have Resolution 2023-08, which is our staff recommending that you approve that. It's approving the final action plan. You've heard me talk a lot about Safe Streets for All over the last several months, but just wanted to give you a kind of a quick overview, mainly of what's changed since March, because there are a couple of key things. But we're at the tail end of the process. We've been making changes since March, as some of you provided comments, and we've had a few other meetings, including with our Safe Streets for All task force. And we're hoping next week at our policy committee meeting that approval will be granted, which will then allow all of you to apply for implementation grants, should you so choose. Again, those are due on July 10th. Last time I kind of gave an overview of... That's weird. My whole screen isn't on here. I don't know if there's a way to fix that. But anyway, it doesn't really matter. You have most of it. But anyway, just wanted to mention like how the plan is laid out. We made sure that we checked all of the boxes that the federal government would like to see a Safe Streets for All action plan include. I'm not going to go into detail on those chapters, but just wanted to kind of reacquaint you with how we laid it out. We did have several mostly minor changes since the March meeting when I went over the plan. Those in bold here I'm going to go into in a little bit more detail. The most substantial change by far is, and this was just a couple of days after our March TAC meeting, we discovered what I guess we can fairly call a data error. And basically what was happening is we were far over-reporting our serious injury crashes. A lot of that has to do with changes in the definition of what constitutes a serious injury crash and how those are coded during that five-year 2017 to 2021 period that we're doing, or that we're analyzing crashes on. But the result of it is we have much fewer serious injury crashes than we assumed we did before. So if you remember what this map looked like before, it's a lot cleaner now. We have a lot fewer. And I'll go into that in just a second, some of the ramifications of that. So obviously the high injury network was changed. That's available on our website. Actually, if you go to AMAT's website, the first slider is for Safe Streets for All, and then you can just click that, and it takes you to the web application. If you haven't checked it out, make sure you do. But our segments, our corridors, and our interstate segments, we coded them based on the number of FSI crashes, which are a much lower number than what we had been assuming before. So that's our biggest change. Another monkey wrench thrown into this, as the USDOT announced the fiscal year 2023, or the year two funding, they had a lot of changing definitions of equity. They're really gung-ho on using their own methodologies to define what equity is. What we had initially done is kind of taken a stab using block group data, like a very refined census block group data, to look at some of our traditionally disadvantaged populations and doing some further analysis on that. Basically, we rewrote 90% of Chapter 5, and the long and the short of it is there are these two methodologies. There's the Equitable Transportation Community Explorer, which I think was finally just finalized, and there's another methodology applicants can use, the Climate and Economic Justice Screening Tool. I think that's through US EPA. But either way, basically it's a threshold. It's census tracts. They either qualify or they don't. And the applicants get to choose what they want. If you have a project that's outside of one of these areas, no need to fret. Like, you could still apply, but that just means that you'll get a slightly lower overall ranking because equity is a component of that. So the pretty big change in that chapter. Because of the changes that I mentioned about the high injury network, our recommendations tables, which is probably what you're most interested in, those have changed substantially. Our midterm projects are basically any corridors or intersections that have three or more intersections, or three or more fatal serious injury crashes. That equates to 53 segments at 9 intersections. And then our long-term recommendations are just those that have exactly 2 FSIs, or fatal and serious injury crashes, over the 5-year period. Just under 100 of the segments and 62 intersections. And then the final thing I wanted to highlight, we had some conversations at our last task force meeting and some conversations that took place after that about how we might better incorporate some of the transit recommendations that we didn't want to lose sight of. Originally, we were just going to kind of add a little component to our strategy recommendations, but as we started digging in and kicking it around, really a lot of these were like what I'll call general project recommendations. We also had the idea, why not list some of our priority corridors that both Metro and HARTA have for, you know, future transit improvements. And then, of course, we did have a couple strategy recommendations. So what we did is we added a whole subsection within Chapter 7. So we have our project recommendations, our strategy recommendations, and then there's a transit section. I think that's pages 32 and 33 on the plan. I'm not totally sure, but it's the end of Chapter 7. So that's pretty much a Cliff Notes version of what's changed since I talked last. Last but not least, I don't want to embarrass anyone, but this is weird how this is displaying. But I just wanted to give a shout out to our team here. Like, I have just been very, very impressed with all the people that you see on this list here. Our staff, you look at their roles here, they are masters in what they do. Like, they helped a lot. And our task force as well, like, it's been very good to bounce ideas off of people and keep this project moving along. So I just wanted to make sure you all knew that the folks on this list here all did a great job on their part of the project. So that's basically where we are. Are there any questions? Okay, thank you.
All right, we need a motion to approve Resolution 2308.
So moved, Donkey.
All in second.
Motion a second. All those in favor of passing Resolution 2308, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes. Item 7, other business.
There is none.
No other business. I will move for adjournment. Thank you all.